Are you a lawyer who desires more freedom and flexibility in your work life? To be more available for your family, stop deferring those bucket list travel destinations until retirement, take care of yourself physically and mentally, or even just have more time for your other passions and priorities. What would it mean for your life if you could continue to practice law without sacrificing in any of these areas or sacrificing your income? I'm Kaylee Jacquemet, host of the Lawyer on Your Terms podcast. I run a six-figure virtual law practice working less than 25 hours a week. I'm a mom of two little ones and started my practice so I wouldn't have to choose between my vision of motherhood and my legal career. Your dreams and priorities may be different, but if you're curious about how to create a practice that is designed around your most important priorities in life, rather than always having to fit your life around your career, then you're in the right place. You, my friend, are more than just a lawyer, and you can lawyer on your own terms. Welcome to the Lawyer on Your Terms podcast. Let's dive into today's episode. Welcome back to the Lawyer on Your Terms podcast. Today, I am interviewing Jessica Ryder. She is an attorney, and she came through our accelerator program last year. So today, we're going to dig into how it's going for Jessica, why she decided to make this shift, and lots of other nuggets of wisdom that Jessica will have for us. So Jessica, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Healy.
Can you share a little bit more about your background? So you can go as far back as you'd like, why you decided to become a lawyer, and just your work history until you decided to go out on your own.
Sure. So I actually feel like I've wanted to be a lawyer forever, and I don't really know why, but I can't pinpoint it to any one particular story, but I was always interested in politics and things like that and those types of like criminal justice classes. And so when I went to college, I got a political science degree. And at that time, I was like, maybe I will or won't go to law school. But I ultimately ended up deciding to go to law school. And in law school, I actually really focused on, not that you specialize in law school necessarily, but I took most of my classes actually in family law, juvenile justice, domestic violence, things like that. And with a focus thinking that when I was going to get out of law school, I was going to be a family law attorney. And I was also really, as I got to the end, I was really focused on mediation and those and that type of, you know, getting to resolution that way. And then when I got out of law school, it was kind of the end of we're still in the recession. It was kind of hard to find a job. And so I did ultimately land a family law job with a solo practitioner. And I did that for a couple of years. And I could just kind of see the burnout coming. You know, it was definitely different than what I thought it was going to be when I was in law school. I didn't mention this, but I'm from Rhode Island. It's, you know, a small state. And if you wanted to be like a professional mediator, that was never really going to work here. For personal circumstances, I was staying here. And so I kind of was like, well, what do I do now? Because that's what I thought I was going to do in law school. And I ended up at the Attorney General's office in Rhode Island. And that job, I was not a prosecutor. I was actually, the way it's structured in Rhode Island is there's a criminal division that does prosecutions, and there's also a civil division. And part of what they are responsible for is defending the state in civil lawsuits. So anytime the state or an agency of the state is sued, and also some other regulatory work as well. And so I was there for more than 7 years, kind of doing a bunch of different things. That is the nature, at least in my experience, of being a government attorney. You are underfunded and understaffed. So anything that comes through the door is yours, which was actually a really great learning experience because I was able to be kind of like doing expert depositions right off the bat. I was in court right away. I was never really like behind a desk, just, you know, kind of doing that grunt work that you would think of like an associate doing in big law. So that was really great. And then I kind of towards the end of my time there, I was doing healthcare regulation and I liked the work, but I was starting to, you know, get a little bit tired of kind of like the standard, this is the way it's done, and just kind of like reporting to the man in a way, for lack of a better term. You know, it's that you don't get a lot of autonomy. It was like, you know, giving attendance and clocking your hours and all of that kind of stuff. So, you know, during that time, I had two kids. I had my second child and I decided I'm going to do something else. And from there, I explored a couple different kind of opportunities. Part of the thing was for me is at the end of my time at the AG's office, I was in a pretty niche area. You know, I had a lot of experience in other areas, but what I was doing was niche. So it wasn't like I was going to go out and necessarily do that exact same thing. And I ultimately ended up finding a job serendipitously as of counsel for, you know, a local boutique law firm that did some employment law, business law, and estate planning and probate practice. And I was there for a couple of years and I worked, you know, I don't know, we'll go, probably go into this. I didn't work a full-time schedule. I was up counsel. So I did work on a part-time schedule. And then from there, I opened my firm. So that kind of is the background that landed me, you know, to before opening my firm.
That's great. So I'm interested in you sharing with everyone, what was your flexible work schedule at that boutique firm? And what about it was not quite cutting it for you? Or was there any reason that you wanted more flexibility or, you know, just for things to be different in that way?
Sure. Yes. So that role was essentially, I think I worked the kind of the equivalent of 3 full days a week. And those were like full days. It was like in office pretty much all day. So that was, you know, I will say that was one of the reasons was I was wanting to work more remote. That just wasn't really the nature of that firm. And I think another thing for me is ultimately I knew that firm was looking for somebody to be there kind of, you know, in that traditional way. And it was always like, can you be here like a little bit more, a little bit more? And so that just, it still wasn't like enough flexibility. I still kind of felt like I was even, you know, I was reporting to somebody if, you know, I wasn't there at a certain time or things like that. And then, you know, and at that time too, I kind of discovered that, you know, leaving, and maybe this is a different question, but after leaving the government and being with the government for so long, which is just so far from having your own practice, I started just also seeing that I could do it. And so I think, you know, it was kind of a combination of all those things.
So Jessica, I think you and I are around the same age and a generation above us, and maybe even just a few years before us, was kind of that mindset of you need to hide your family life. You need to hide, you know, certainly not present any desire to be flexible. Absolutely can't hear any children in the background, kind of concealing the need to take a day off if your kid is sick. All of that was kind of like the work culture of the legal industry and so many other areas, corporate world, for the generation before us. And even just, you know, I think still when we graduated, but I have seen a huge shift in that. Now, that could be because my own work environment is completely different, but I do think especially the pandemic opened up people to being more flexible. And when everyone was home on lockdown and they got kind of a sense of what things could be like, it shifted the work culture in a lot of places. But anyway, so what I want to ask you is, what was your, you know, you said you were working 3 full days a week, but it still wasn't enough flexibility. So I just want to ask you about what was your vision for your work life and your home life balance? Because to a lot of people listening, you know, if they are working 40, 50, 60 hours a week, the idea that, you know, you were working 3 days a week sounds like a dream. And it can almost sound like you're asking for too much, which I, of course, don't think you are, but to say that you want even more flexibility than that. But I think it's really important for people to hear that and kind of push the boundaries on what's possible, because you are now in your own thriving practice. I'm doing the same. And it is possible. So can you speak to that for a minute of why that wasn't enough, why those 3 days of flexibility wasn't enough for you, and what you really wanted your work-life balance to be?
If you're ready to build and grow a flexible virtual law practice, whether you're going solo for the first time or you have an existing practice but would like to be able to work less without sacrificing your income, our signature program, The Accelerator, is for you. The Accelerator is a 6-month private Done With You mentorship program to provide you with the exact steps, strategies, and support that you need to build, launch, and grow a flexible virtual law practice. There's honestly nothing else in the marketplace like the Accelerator, and we take a holistic approach to building a flexible law firm around the most important priorities in your life. Our unique combination of training materials, templates, and private mentoring will fast-track your transformation from burnout and missing out to a lawyer who looks forward to Monday mornings. By the end of the program, you will not only have all the information and tools you need to launch your flexible virtual firm, but we will have built out many of the back-end components of your firm together. You'll have a clear, personalized, and actionable business plan to operate and grow your practice with the confidence and support to do it. And last but certainly not least, you'll join a network of like-minded attorneys to grow with. Enrollment for the Accelerator is open now at lawyeronyourterms.com/accelerator.
Sure. I think, and it does. I know it sounds that way. And I will say that actually ever since I had my daughter, I have kind of continued to push the boundary of what I could be flexible on. And I will say, you know, I know your backstory. Unlike your backstory, I didn't really plan for that. I didn't know what I always wanted to have children, but I didn't think that anything was going to change. Like, I was very naive thinking like, oh, it will all work out. And then it was kind of like my first week back at maternity leave, realizing I was picking up my daughter, you know, at 5 o'clock and she was going to go to bed at 6:30. And it was like, it smacked me in the face. So from that start, I really did kind of continue to push the boundaries. And when I say push the boundaries, I want to be very clear that my work product never suffered for that. If anything, I always felt like probably my community suffered because I was never, you know, going for like the lunch hour or, you know, that type of thing. Because I was like, I am getting in, I'm getting my work done, and I'm leaving. And when I took that position, I did think I was going to be able to be more remote than I was. I wasn't, like I said, I wasn't really able to be remote. If I was remote, it was very hard because for one thing, kind of the partner I was working for, you know, was just kind of wanted everyone in the office. And number two, the office wasn't set up in any digital way at all. I had to, you know, lug hard files back and forth and that type of thing. So for me, what I really wanted to do was mostly be working from home and mostly making my own hours and not having to report to somebody on that. So, you know, it was like, I had to be structured in the days I was in. And so, it always seemed like an issue if I had to switch days or something like that because something came up. Or, you know, if I was waiting, even if I was waiting on a lot of stuff, like if I had done kind of my work for the day and I really didn't have anything to do until somebody responded, I couldn't really leave. You know, I had to just kind of like sit there. And to me, I wanted more flexibility in that sense, too. Like if I had client meetings and I was kind of waiting on clients, but then I had a chunk of 2 or 3 hours where I could take care of myself or get grocery shopping done or something like that. You know, I just wanted more flexibility in that way, in the time way. I also really came to realize that I wanted flexibility in how I was running a firm and the type of work I was doing. And so it was actually a combination of flexibility in time and also flexibility in what I was doing.
Yeah, I can definitely relate to that. Even in the not having to ask permission to take time off during the day or to take a day off. For some people, a flexible employment situation is going to be the best situation for them for various reasons. But at the end of the day, you're still answering to someone. And that can make a huge impact on how your life shifts when you're just setting your own schedule, answering to yourself and your clients directly. So I want to go back when you were at your boutique firm and you're realizing that maybe this isn't going to be the best long-term situation for you, and you're starting to think that you would like to go out on your own. What were your main reservations at that point? What made that decision hard for you?
I guess there was probably a couple of things. One of them, like I just said, was I kind of like hopped around practice areas. So it was one thing, it was like, what will I do? And, you know, understanding that, you know, there's the old model of you're just like the town's lawyer and whatever comes through the door you take. But knowing that I didn't want to do that. But I think that part of it was like, what would I do? That was a big concern. And then I think another big concern, obviously, was like, will anybody come? And for me and my history, I did not have really any background in, you know, marketing myself, having to find clients. When you work for the government, like, you always have a client. And even working for the boutique firm, I always had clients and always had work to do. And I think because it was a little bit, you know, because it was that part-time position, you know, it wasn't, they weren't really expecting me to bring in clients. So I think that, you know, it wasn't necessarily money. And I know that sounds strange because, of course, like, people are worried about bringing you money. But I was like, will I actually be able to do this? Can I find clients? And what practice area will I do?
Yeah, especially the question of will anybody come? I think that's most people's main concern. But also, you know, these other unique considerations. Some people can seamlessly go from the firm they're in into their own practice because they have an already, you know, very transactional practice area. But what would I do? Again, you said you were very niche down at the AG's office and it wasn't even transferable into the private sector. But what would you say to yourself now, being how far into your business first are you? And what would you say to yourself regarding those concerns if you could go back and speak to your past self?
Yeah, so I think I'm about 6 or 7 months in. And I think that I would say, you know, and maybe this is just for me, but maybe there's other people out there that have kind of bounced around or done different practice areas. Like, I think that you'll figure it out, right? So I always have, right? Because I always had to figure it out. So I think bouncing around practice areas, you know, there's a couple of different schools of thought on whether or not you need to be highly specialized or you're able to do a little bit of everything. But I think because I have done different things, those skills are transferable. And I don't think I really realized how transferable until I really got into doing the work I'm doing. So I think that's one thing. And then another thing I guess I would tell myself is, like, just have some more self-confidence, because I think a lot of it is self-confidence. And that, you know, if you put in the work, people will come. And it's not to say that you're going to be making all the money you need on day one. But I can tell that as soon as I put in some effort, make some calls, reach out to people, I'm seeing the fruit of that almost immediately. And so I think it's just, you know, having the confidence to do it and knowing that I have transferable skills in a lot of different areas would be something I would tell myself now.
Yeah, that's great. Because practicing law is already a proven business model, right? It's not like we're going out there and coming up with a new innovative product that we don't know if the market is going to like, how they're going to react to it. If I can do this and Jessica can do this and all the other women in our community can do this, it's not a matter of, is it possible? It is. You just need to go through the steps and you just need to make the effort to make those connections and put yourself out there. And you can absolutely offer your legal services in the marketplace, charge a healthy rate for your hourly rate so that you can work these part-time hours and still bring in the same income. Now, I won't put you on the spot in terms of income, but I know that you are doing well. So let's focus on lifestyle. What does your life look like now? And if you could reflect on, you know, how life is different in the day-to-day or weekly schedule now that you're on your own compared to even when you were on that part-time schedule at the boutique firm, how has that shifted? And what could you say, like, I wouldn't be able to X, Y, or Z that's present in your life now if you were still at that boutique firm?
Yeah, I think a lot of it actually is how I feel doing things, because, and let me explain that. So, you know, if you reverse back to like pandemic times, I was at the AG's office during that time. You know, we didn't even have like laptops or anything when the pandemic started. So this was like a whole new world, you know, and I was starting to, I had one child got pregnant with my second, and I was already kind of starting to like assert my boundaries, because at first it was like, okay, yes, we're all in this. But then, you know, that creep of you're on 24/7 was really happening there, because there was just no model for like the work from home. So I started to like have boundaries, but I always felt bad about my boundaries. Like, and I constantly felt like I needed to prove myself in other ways. And so if I was going to do something during the day, or, you know, leave to pick up my daughter or something like that, then I was like going to have to make up for it. And that is something I felt even when I was working part-time at the boutique firm. So I think the biggest thing is just feeling a sense of relief that I have control over my schedule and what I do for clients and what I say I'm going to do for clients and when I'm going to get back to them. That has kind of been the biggest change. And then also I think it would be that I am home 99% of the time. I am, you know, completely 100% virtual. So that was not the case before. And yeah, so I think, you know, a couple of things that I wouldn't be able to do before is I wouldn't be able to work from home, which provides me a lot of flexibility. I'm able to walk my daughter to school in the morning, you know, and I feel relatively calm about that most days. We're usually still running late, but, you know, we have to some extent that we can leisurely mornings. I'm able to stay at home with my son. He's not school age. One day a week, I'm able to pretty much, you know, sign off around school pickup time, which for us is pretty early. My daughter gets out of school at 2:30. So it is a pretty early afternoon, and I'm able to do all of that stuff. And then I'm able to do all of that relatively guilt-free, because I'm not reporting to anybody. And I've already taken my client meetings within that schedule. So, you know, of course, things pop up and stuff like that. But I also have found that I am attracting a lot of clients that are in my season of life, understand, you know, they themselves are working flexibly, or they're starting, you know, a side hustle or a part-time business because they want to have different aspects of their life other than work. So I just think it's a totally different vibe, to be honest.
Yeah. And if you don't mind sharing, because that is, you know, most people's greatest concern is where the client's going to come from. So without getting into the nitty gritty, can you share just in general where you are finding clients?
I will say, so one thing I probably didn't mention is I did have a pretty large client that came with me, that actually, when I was at the boutique firm, came to me and then came with me. So besides that, otherwise, I am mostly finding clients through referral partners. So I'm in some Facebook groups, I'm in some other, you know, local networking groups, and I talk to people that way, and then they refer people to me. I actually have also gotten quite a bit of clients from other attorneys, but it's other attorneys that are in different practice areas. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's like the, you know, the 10-year itch, because I think I was about 10 years out of law school when I wanted to, you know, was thinking about opening my own firm. And I actually had like 3 or 4 classmates that also opened their own firms around the same time or just prior to me. And they're in all different practice areas. So I have a lot of referrals that way. And then I try to attend like any free networking event I can get to. And so I think that's where, you know, most of my clients are coming from is actually like good old fashioned talking to people.
That's awesome. So what, and maybe it's similar to the advice that you would give yourself, but if there's someone listening who has been entertaining this idea, but they're all also worried about how they're going to make it work and primarily where they're going to find clients, if they're going to bring in enough revenue, what would your advice be to that person?
Yeah, I think it's twofold, because one thing we probably didn't talk about is that I kind of set up other, I will call them like other streams of income in a way. So when I left that boutique firm, I negotiated to work for them on a contract basis. I was leaving on very good terms. So that was a way that I was able to generate some income. Like I said, I took this client. So those were kind of like my two buckets of reserves in a way. And then you know, otherwise, I think it is that you can find clients. You just have to. I remember hearing this like in the sales world, and you know, for in different industries, this ratio is different. But it's like for every 10 no's, there's a yes. Sometimes it's every 100 no's, there's a yes. So I think it's just continuing to go out there and understand that you really just need to get your face out there. And for me, like I said, I was, you know, I do some work that I used to do or have done, you know, in some iteration previously. But otherwise, I was really looking for a whole new client base. And also because it was a new client base because of some of the practice areas, but also just the type of clients I wanted to serve. So I think I would just tell myself, and somebody else that's looking to do this, is you just have to continue to get out there and get comfortable with talking about yourself, having organic conversations, and just keep putting your face out there in some way. I think it's just the more exposure, the better.
Yep, absolutely. I agree. I always say, you know, most of my clients come from referrals, and most of your clients will come from referrals too. Whoever you are listening, that's where most of your business is going to come from. So it's all about visibility and building those relationships. So Jessica, can you tell us where people can connect with you, whether that's on Instagram or LinkedIn or your website?
Sure. So my Instagram is Jessica Reiner Law. My website is the same, jessicareinerlaw.com. I am on LinkedIn. I'm not very active there. So you can find me there. You can send me a message. I will respond, but that's not where I'm very active. I guess I'm most active on Instagram, if you can call it that, working on that. But yeah, you can find me any of those places.
Well, I think your Instagram is great. Well, excellent. I will be sure to link those in the show notes so people can connect with you. And Jessica, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Kaylee. It was great talking to you.
That's all for today. If you enjoyed this episode, it would mean the world to me and really help us grow if you would take a moment to go to your podcast app where you listen and leave us a review. If you know a lawyer who you think would enjoy this podcast, please take a screenshot of your favorite episode and send it to them or tag them in a post. And before we leave, I just want to remind you that you are more than just a lawyer, and you can lawyer on your own terms. I'll see you next week.